from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. This winter's flu season is already deadly, and experts are calling it moderately severe. We'll find out why this year's flu is so bad and how best to protect yourself. Then at 9:30, we talk about the Trump administration's decision to end a program that has allowed more than 200,000 natives of El Salvador to live in the United States without fear of deportation over the last 17 years. We'll find out how members of the Bay Area's large Salvadoran community are responding to the news. Stay with us. It's all up ahead after this. Welcome to this morning's forum. I'm Michael Krasny. This flu season is turning out to be a nasty one. According to state health officials, the flu has already resulted in the death of 27 Californians younger than 65, and that's compared with three at this time last year. Officials also note that the flu vaccine is approximately 32% effective this year. Has your family been hit by the flu? How are you coping? And what questions do you have? You can actually call us now, 866-733-6786. The number again, for your calls, 866-733-6786, or email us, forum@kqed.org. And let me tell you who is joining us for this half-hour segment. I want to welcome Charles Chu, who's here with us in studio. He's UCSF professor of medicine. Good morning.
Thank you.
Glad to have you. Also, we have Jeffrey Silvers with us, who is medical director of pharmacy and infection prevention for Sutter Health. Joins us by phone. Good morning, Jeffrey Silvers.
Good morning.
Glad to have you both. And Professor Chu, let me begin with you, and let's begin by talking about, well, I guess what's a different strain or a different variant now, H3N2. It's more dangerous too, isn't it?
Yes. So the predominant strain that's circulating now is influenza A H3N2. This is a strain that's a seasonal influenza strain. We see it every year. This particular strain causes more severe disease. It's been associated with more hospitalizations and also more deaths than other strains. So it is thought to be more virulent than many of the other influenza strains that we may encounter.
And the thing that is available is not so available to deal with, the Tamiflu. I mean, it's hard to find now, isn't it?
That is true. There have been reported shortages in various places around nationwide. But I believe in California that we're not yet encountering kind of a severe sword shortage. So it is still available. And it is effective against the H3N2 strain that's currently circulating, has widespread circulation currently.
Widespread indeed. I mean, those numbers I gave out, 27 Californians this year as opposed to three last year, that doesn't even include people over 65 who are difficult, could succumb to this, yeah?
That's correct. The CDC statistics that are provided, the statistics from the California Department of Public Health that you're citing, really are statistics for persons under age 50, and it turns out that certain populations are more vulnerable. So, for instance, individuals over the age of 65, young children, pregnant women. And these, or persons who have chronic medical conditions such as asthma or congestive heart failure, these are people who are at higher risk of developing severe disease from influenza A.
Charles Chu again is here in studio with us. He's professor of medicine at UCSF and specializes in infectious diseases. Jeffrey Silvers is director of pharmacy and infection prevention for Sutter Health. Well, what about prevention? Wash our hands a lot, I know. Jeffrey Silvers, what else can you tell us?
So clearly getting the influenza vaccine is the most important measure of prevention.
Yeah, but people are getting the shot, and it's not only about 32% effective, right?
Okay, so I had a what we call point prevalence survey done December 29th at nine different counties in Northern California at Sutter Health facilities, and looking at the patients that were hospitalized at that time. And we had 64 patients in the hospitals that responded, of which 75% had never been vaccinated. So only 25% of the patients hospitalized for influenza actually had ever received a vaccine, which to me says no, people are not being vaccinated. And it also says that it suggests strongly that the vaccine is providing some protection.
Well, that's good to know. But as I said, what else? I mentioned hand washing. I know that's been very important and emphasized a good deal.
Yeah, so obviously if you're sick, prevention measures would be, first of all, not going out and having contact with other people where you could expose people. If you have to go out somewhere, if you're coughing, cover your cough. You know, the standard CDC recommendations are using a tissue and then to cover your cough and then disposing of it and then immediately washing your hands with either an alcohol-based preparation or soap and water. If you don't have a Kleenex available, then you should cover your cough with your elbow, but try not to use your hand. And again, go wash your hands after that. You can get a disposable mask and wear those also. But again, not going out in the environment if you're sick is probably the best thing to do.
Aren't you most contagious before the symptoms actually begin or develop?
Early on with the development of the disease, you are definitely very contagious, but it's really the cough that spreads it. It's droplets, so it's not spread as much. It's not spread by just talking. So it's when a person is sneezing and coughing that it's spread the most.
All right. I'm going to invite our listeners. I know many of you have questions and concerns, and you can certainly voice them here and bring them to the fore. Our toll-free number, again, is 866-733-6786, or email us forum at kqed.org, or go right to our website, kqed.org/forum, click on the segment and put your questions or comments there, or tweet us. Our Twitter handle is at kqedforum. There is also, I think, Dr. Chu, evidence that this is going on regionally everywhere in the state at this point, isn't it?
That's true. Currently, it's widespread throughout the United States. In fact, I believe that nearly every state in the U.S. has reported cases. And in fact, it's been particularly hard. It's been particularly hard hitting in California.
Well, what else would you add about preventing or at least making people more mindful about what to do not to spread?
Well, I would definitely like to reiterate the advice that everyone should get vaccinated who qualifies for vaccination, and that really means any individual over the ages over the age of 6 months should get vaccinated, because not only although it may be only partially effective, and that's been that information has been is correct, it's possible that the vaccine may only be partially effective in preventing influenza. It has been shown that in individuals who get vaccinated, that if they do develop influenza, that they end up with less severe disease, less risk of hospitalization. And it's been also shown that the vaccine saves lives. There was a publication last year that was published in Pediatrics that showed that getting the vaccination actually saves the lives of children who become infected with the influenza.
But you know, there are a lot of people who don't want their children vaccinated. I mean, under any circumstances, they're against vaccinations. I mean, and see vaccinations as actually putting things in the system that shouldn't be there and maybe dangerous.
Yes, but we have many years of experience that really suggests that the vaccine is safe and effective. And the benefit, I believe the consensus is that the overwhelming consensus is that the benefit far outweighs the risks of getting vaccinated.
And Jeffrey Silver, as I go back to you for a moment, and then I'm going to bring our callers in this, there are not only medicine shortages, as we've mentioned, but they're packed ERs now, and there's a rising death toll with this. Jeffrey Silvers?
You're absolutely right. I was just trying to wait to see if you had a question or you're just making a statement.
Well, I was getting confirmation from you on those things that I've been reading about. I mean, these rising death tolls are of great concern, and so are the fact that the ERs are packed.
The ERs are severely impacted right now, and that's made a lot of a difference. The state has had requests to have tents set up, especially in San Diego. San Diego's been very hard hit, and they actually have had some shortages of Tamiflu, and they were the hardest hit area of the state initially. And there's the request to have emergency tents placed outside of the EDs, but that hasn't happened at this time. It is an important infectious disease. You know, since I've been doing a physician practicing infectious diseases for 30 years, I've seen a lot of cases of influenza. And my comment to people who don't want to be vaccinated is, if you've seen a mother in her third trimester lose her baby from influenza because she didn't get a vaccine like I have. You only see that once in your life, and you're really changed for your life. Besides the fact that the mother was changed and she lost her developing baby, influenza vaccine is very important.
Well, we're taking your questions about the flu. We're talking with Jeffrey Silvers and Charles Chu, and let's get our callers on here. Let's begin with you, Larry. You're on the air. Morning.
Hey, good morning.
Yeah, you're on the air. Go ahead.
So I'm just sharing that my experience with the flu is I got the vaccine, and I thought, oh, I'm good. But in fact, it didn't really seem to have that much efficacy in either stopping it or slowing it down. I noticed it. And all the people that have been sick around me, it's mainly the men that seem to be affected worse. My girlfriend didn't get it at all. She barely has the sniffles. And luckily, she took care of me when I was sick, bringing me, you know, all the NyQuil and stuff. But is that something that you guys have found out in your research or have noticed that maybe it just affects men more? Or is this just indicative of our healthcare system and it's failing?
Larry, thank you for the question. Let me go to Professor Chu. Is there a gender difference in terms of this flu?
Yeah, there hasn't been reported any particular gender difference. It is known that certain populations, as I described before, vulnerable populations such as children, elderly, patients who have other medical conditions like asthma, or pregnant women are more likely to develop severe disease from influenza, but there really has not been a gender difference. The other thing that I also want to comment is that unless you actually go in and seek medical attention and medical help and get tested specifically for influenza, we can't assume that having kind of the symptoms of an influenza-like illness means that you have influenza. There are indeed many other respiratory viruses that are circulating. So you may have fever and chills and nasal symptoms, but that does not necessarily mean that you have influenza. So it is it's important to realize that there are other viral infections that can cause essentially an identical illness.
Again, Charles Chu is professor of medicine at UCSF, specializing in infectious diseases. I'm going to go to more of your calls in just a moment, but let me go back to Jeffrey Silvers, who directs pharmacy and infection prevention at Sutter Health. Listener wants to know, Jeffrey Silvers, even if you get the vaccine and you catch the flu, does it make it less severe?
Well, first of all, there's a common misnomer among people about the flu vaccine working immediately. You have to understand that it takes about 2 weeks after you get vaccinated before the vaccine is efficacious. So I think that's always an issue where someone says, you know, I got the vaccine and 4 days later I got the flu. Well, it wasn't enough time. I think, you know, what Dr. Chu said is appropriate and could you repeat what you want me to talk about a little bit?
Well, I think you just answered the question, actually. And yeah, thank you for that. But another question comes from a listener named Jake, who says, you had said before, Jeffrey Silvers, that it's probably good to have a mask, and he wants to know if I wear a medical mask when I'm around people, are my chances of getting a cold or flu reduced?
Well, it also have to be incorporated with good hand hygiene, wouldn't it? Because, again, you get contaminated on your hands, and then you touch your mouth, you're going to contaminate yourself. The mask, when it gets wet, doesn't work anymore, so you're going to have to change it. So it's not put a mask on and wear it all day and you're fine. Again, it's very important that the people around you, if they're sick, you'd like to have them be about 3 feet away if possible. You want to make sure they cover their cough, they wash their hands, and, of course, you do the same.
Well, another listener wants to know if hand sanitizers work against the flu.
Yes, they do. The alcohol-based hand sanitizers actually have very good efficacy against influenza.
All right, let me bring on more callers. Howard, thank you for waiting. You're on. Howard, are you there? Well, we'll say goodbye to Howard because he's not there. Let me go to another caller. Steve is here, I hope. Steve, go ahead.
Hi, yes, I'm here. I just have a cousin who succumbed to this whole strain of flu, and I have no understanding of how she can catch it and end up in ICU quickly and die. How does this thing progress? Please explain it to me.
Charles Chu.
So this is a viral infection. So it causes In normal healthy people, otherwise healthy people, it causes an influenza-like illness characterized by fevers and chills and body aches. What usually, from patients that usually develop more severe disease and may in fact die from influenza, it's usually a result of complications of that initial illness. So for instance, if they don't get prompt medical attention, they may become severely dehydrated. They may develop a secondary bacterial pneumonia on top of the influenza, or they may develop more severe disease, such as sepsis. So the issue is that it's really important that for vulnerable populations or for certain individuals, if for instance you have symptoms that persist for longer than a few days, if you become severely dehydrated, if you have chest pain or shortness of breath, I mean, these are warning signs that you may have or be suffering from more severe disease from influenza, in which case you should seek medical attention immediately. And so it has been usually patients that succumb to this particular illness, it's usually a result of secondary complications from the initial infection.
This is a variant. This is what they call a variant, this flu that we're talking about now. Can another variant spin off of that?
Well, this is a particular strain that has been circulating. I think that it may be a slight misnomer to call it a variant. It is a strain that pretty much causes the H3N2 strain that we're talking about pretty much causes seasonal influenza. So this is a strain that we see every year. What happens is that this is a virus that constantly mutates or changes. So every year you're going to see some small changes or genetic changes in the sequence of the virus. So it's probably incorrect to say that this is a new strain that's circulating. This is really a seasonal strain that constantly mutates, and for which this is why it's really important to get vaccinated yearly, because what's done by the CDC and other public health agencies is that when they develop the vaccine, is that they try to anticipate what strains would circulate within any given year. But this is a strain that
it's a bit of a guessing game in ways, isn't it?
In some ways, it is a guessing game, and that's why there has been kind of a strong advocacy kind of in the field that we really need what's known as a universal flu vaccine. We need a flu vaccine that's not tailored every year for specific strains, but one that can really cover all strains over time. Unfortunately, and there are many research groups that are working on this problem, and ultimately this may be a potential solution. But in the meantime, it's really important that we continue to get vaccinated because we will be faced with this particular strain, H3N2, very likely year after year.
And again, Charles Chu is professor of medicine at UCSF. He specializes in infectious diseases. And here's a comment from Nancy who says, I started feeling ill one evening last week, started taking Tamiflu the following afternoon. My temperature and other symptoms were gone in the morning, a 36-hour flu. I had also been vaccinated. Let me get another caller on. Dan, you're on. Morning.
Good morning. So I was thinking about this kind of Pascal's wager style for those who don't believe in the effectiveness of the vaccine. Certainly, 60-odd% of people won't receive complete immunity, but it does sound like it reduces the virulence. So if it reduces the duration of the flu by a third, your options are either if you, like me and most people, have free or very cheap flu shots, getting a flu shot at your convenience, or else having a doctor's visit and paying for a prescription of Tamiflu, not at your convenience. Either way, you reduce it by a third. But why not do it when you want to?
All right. What about the wisdom that you just heard there, Jeffrey Silvers? Agree?
Well, absolutely, I agree. And the flu shots are readily available. You can get them at very low cost at retail pharmacies, retail clinics, private physician's office. Sutter has walk-in clinics. I mean, it is available, and it's not too late to get your vaccine. And just kind of another comment related, the H3N2, which is really not a variant, and it is circulating, it's about 70%. 30% of the cases we're seeing are the other A strain, which is H1N1, and two different B strains. So even if you've had influenza this year and you haven't been vaccinated, it's not too late to get vaccinated to protect against the other three strains that are circulating.
And we'll get another caller on. That's you, Karen. Good morning. You're on forum.
Good morning. Yes, I'm a senior, and I got the flu vaccination, and I'm hearing it's still being recommended for people, but I'm wondering, is there any difference in immunity between the younger folks who got one kind of vaccination and seniors who got a stronger version this year in particular.
Thank you for that question, Dr. Chu.
Well, there are actually specific types of vaccine that are now available. So, for instance, there's a higher dose vaccine, which you may have received, and which is specifically tailored for the elderly population. There's also a version of the vaccine that has what we call an adjuvant, which is basically it's basically an ingredient that's added to the vaccine to make the antibody response more effective. The reason that these kind of enhanced vaccines are available are because certain groups of individuals, especially the elderly, are less likely to mount an effective immune response to the vaccine. So we need to sort of boost the vaccine in this fashion for an effective immune response. So these are vaccines that are available. Now, I should stress, though, that widespread data, many of these newer formulations of the vaccine are quite new, and really we don't really have the data yet in terms of whether or not they're, for instance, more efficacious. And current CDC recommendations are for all persons who are eligible, greater than 6 months of age, to receive any vaccine, whether it's the enhanced vaccine or the standard vaccine.
Are the epidemiologists on top of this, in your judgment?
Yes, this is being followed. This is being followed very, very carefully. In fact, every year the CDC does an extensive surveillance of the kind of the efficacy of the results of the vaccine. An example, up until a few years ago, we did have a kind of an oral vaccine available for flu, which was called FluMist, which was actually an inhalable version of the vaccine. That current version was taken off the market and is no longer available because it was shown 1 year to be ineffective against preventing influenza. So currently, the only formulations that are available are injectable vaccines.
Speaking about FluMist, I think Cindy is on point here with a mist. Cindy, join us. Hi.
Hi. Actually, you were just touching on my question. Are we going to see that nasal mist come back is my first question. My second question is, what do you say to people like me who are middle-aged and healthy, who hear statistics that the current flu vaccine is only 30% effective, and who feel that our immunity is compromised for the few days and weeks following the flu vaccine, and so don't necessarily want to get it because might get other illnesses when it seems that flu vaccine is not necessarily as effective this year as it has been in other years? What would you say to people like me?
Yeah, thank you for that question, or those two questions. Let me go to Dr. Silvers. Jeffrey Silvers?
Yeah, hi. So my first answer is I'd still recommend that you get the flu vaccine for not just for yourself, but actually for the betterment of protecting society. It's called herd immunity, where if enough people are immunized and protected, then people who are more compromised will be less likely exposed to the infection. So I think there's real value to that.
You want to know about the nasal spray. Is it going to come
spray.
Back?
Okay, so the nasal spray was taken off because it didn't show efficacy over two different years. It is available in Europe still because they have different data. I think as long as the H3N2 is the predominant strain, it's going to be a problem getting the nasal spray back, because where it failed was really with H1N1, and when that becomes the dominant strain, then we can then do a study and show that it works as well as the injectable. But if there's not a lot of H1N1 around, it's going to be hard to get the data to show that it doesn't work as
well. We're going to need a lot more data all around, but let me thank both of you for this segment. Jeffrey Silvers, again, directs pharmacy and infection prevention for Sutter Health. Charles Chu is professor of medicine at UCSF, specializing in infectious disease. When we come back, we're going to talk about El Salvador refugees who are here temporarily, who are now being sent back to their home country.